TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 127, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Ronnie from Vegas.
And Susie from Sherman Oaks.
Woohoo! All right, so let's start off with the news. First up, we have that Downton Abbey is returning. Its season 3 premiere is on Sunday the 16th in the UK. So, but we don't know when it's going
to
be in the
so
U.S.
So they're encouraging people to pirate episodes.
Right? I mean, they put it in the news. They were like, for all you Downton Abbey fans, Downton Abbey season 3 starts on Sunday in the U.K. And it's like, wink, wink. Like, okay, well, like, why are you even telling me this? Thank you, now I know what I need to go download. But they don't give the U.S. premiere date. So
Probably spring.
So, yeah.
we get the Christmas episode in April or whatever.
Yes. I don't understand why they made the announcement either, but they did. And it was in the Hollywood Reporter or whatever.
Psych.
That's all the news I have. Do you have any other news or no?
You didn't like my news.
Oh, yes. Your news was boring. Not sufficient for the podcast. All right. So let's start with the shows then. First up, let's talk about Doctor Who. And that is the episode Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. Which is a great title because it makes me laugh.
Yes.
But the episode, I think I like the episode better than you guys.
It was fun.
It was a fun episode.
No cowboys and aliens.
As you allude.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, I thought it was.
It was great seeing Nefertiti's, you know.
Nefertiti and the big game hunter.
Yeah, the big game hunter. What was great in that scene was that once Amy figured out Nefertiti, which is like, oh my god, you're so famous, this is awesome. And then the guy was like, do you know me too? She's like, yeah, never heard of you. And he was like, you're obviously not well educated. Like, I thought that was pretty good. Anybody else? Peter?
I thought it was all right. Like, I thought it was okay. I didn't really think the Doctor had that much to do. And I honestly thought the concept was, the idea of dinosaurs on a spaceship is inherently funny. But the actual episode, I mean, honestly, I don't really remember it. I'm just kind of like, meh. This is exactly what I was afraid of, which is that, like, a lot of times they'll have a really good premiere, which I love the premiere, and I love the new companion. I can't wait. But honestly, I would rather just get to the new companion. I'm just like, let's just get to the Christmas episode.
I'm totally
I really
with you.
Don't care, you know, so. It was okay. But I mean, I didn't hate it. I was just like, meh, you know, so. I don't have that much to say about it.
What'd you say, Ronnie?
I was going to say, well, actually, so I'm enjoying sort of these episodes and what's happening so far. I know things are going to change, and it seems like everybody's like, let's get to the change. But I just enjoyed it because it was fun, and it was neat getting to see Rory's father.
Oh, that's true.
Sort of like,
well, the father, yeah, Harry Potter. They had two Harry Potter guys in that, which was nice.
Oh, my gosh, that was the groundskeeper.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I knew.
So, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was.
I'm with Peter on this one, where They're building it up too much. I wish that we didn't know that she was leaving, so it would be a surprise.
Right.
But when you have half a season, they're like, oh, she's going to be leaving. Oh, I'll be with you until one of us is no longer. Oh, that gets so tiresome after. It's like, just be gone already.
Well, yes, the buildup does seem like it's lasting forever. And I don't understand why they made it such a big public thing that she was leaving. I mean, they've been announced. Even if you didn't get spoilers, like, even the commercials, like, when it comes
when they have him carrying her body.
Yeah, even the commercials, everything has very much been about Amy leaving. And so, even if you were under a rock, you knew this piece of information. So, I don't know why they made that such
and didn't we know that Billy Piper was leaving his Rose and it wasn't like this?
Right.
Actually, I didn't know. When I watched the episode, I didn't know she was leaving, so I was very surprised. I was like, oh my god!
Well, they didn't hype it as much. I mean, it was, the information was there that she was leaving. Same with Catherine Tate. It's like everybody knows it, but Moffat is just making it like his thing. Like everyone just loves Karen Gillan and her long legs and long red hair. So I'm gonna like use that and I'm gonna build on it and market and advertise on it.
It's become tiresome.
Okay, it really has. I agree.
Hold up, guys. Let's move away from the hate fest and go back to talking about the episode. I'd rather be a little more positive.
Well, the episode was fun. I mean, okay. I thought that I got a little verklempt when the Triceratops met her end or his end.
Aww,
Tricey.
Yeah, that was very sad.
I love the thing with the balls, Joe.
Oh yeah,
I couldn't believe they did that.
Like he goes and he's like, I have balls, and everybody's like. Yes, okay. He pulls...
But you know what? That brings up a good point, because I have to say, of the episode, the one thing I liked the most was the fact that since it was Rory's dad with them, there was more Rory and his dad. And I actually have to say, Rory is kind of my favorite character right now. So I thought it was great for that.
Rory's awesome.
Because he's really clever, and no one lets him... And no one, like, believes that he's actually cleverer than he lets on. You know, it's like
he's not that clever, and he's lame. I don't like Rory.
Yeah, well.
Sooner that guy leaves, the better off I'll be for what.
You can be on that spaceship that gets hit with the missiles, Peter.
Anybody who listens to this podcast knows I am not the Rory fan. That's just not my thing.
I thought he was exceptional in this episode, especially with his dad. And I like the fact that the doctor basically kidnaps the dad.
And is mad.
And then mad about it. He's like, who are you? How did you get on board my spaceship? He's like, you kidnapped him? It's like, oh, right. Sorry. So, yeah, that was a fun episode, especially with all the companions. And the doctor was like, I've always wanted to have a posse or something. He's like, I've always wanted to have a group of people to travel with me. So that was pretty cute.
Yeah, and I think that's what I like. I mean, these last couple of episodes have been just fun and light. And after, like, sort of so much angst and everything at the end of last season, it's kind of nice just to go back to the fun.
Yeah, but give me my angst, though, truthfully.
I'm sure we'll get it eventually.
I know, I like
keep reminding
angst.
Us.
All right, so let's wrap up this episode, Doctor Who. Some of us are thumbs up, some of us are mediocre-ish. Is that, I think that's the way I read it.
Those of us who love Rory love the episodes.
Yeah, so Peter, his thumb is eh. It's dialed to eh. All right. Next up, let's talk about Major Crimes. We haven't talked about this, I think, since the premiere. This episode was... The thing that I remember about it that was pretty good was, one, I like the kid. And this was more him trying to adjust to this new life and going to the school. And he finds out... The only thing is the big mystery is like, oh, we've now discovered his dad. Like... I'm kind of like, I don't know how that's... But I do like the fact that she just told him. Because everybody's been lying to him his whole life. And I like that she was just honest.
I thought they hit it on the head a little bit too hard.
I don't mind that. I thought it was okay.
I think they need to figure a way to integrate the Rusty Moore in the plot lines. This just...
Well, I mean, he's not going to solve crimes.
Well, I know he's not going to solve crimes, but still, this felt so... The whole, I gotta go to, you know, you gotta wake up early because I got a crime scene. And it's just, it's like bad sitcom territory or something.
I disagree because I like how he fits in her life. I do like that. I like the emotional resonance. And whenever, you know, he says really hurtful and hateful things to Mary McDonald.
He's that teenager.
I know, but when he says it to Mary McDonald and her lip quivers, I'm like, no, don't cry.
Okay, I love the moment when she almost pats him on the back.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Because she feels she still, their relationship is very, you know.
Tenuous.
Yes, and still a little uncomfortable. She doesn't know how much affection he will allow her to show.
I think the larger problem is the show doesn't know what it wants to be yet, because we've seen, what, 4 or 5 episodes?
Yeah.
And their cases are all over the place.
That's true, but...
It seems to work better when they're not trying to copy the closer.
Well, and it also works better when they're actually trying really hard not to copy the closer. Like,
right.
Like their whole thing with, oh, our deal is that we make deals so that we make sure the criminals...
That was a mistake.
That's so unsatisfactory. But what I like now... Especially this last episode, that is not how the case went at all. They ended up killing the guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was just, like, was way better.
Yeah, they did.
And I like Provenza. Provenza was like, yeah, if we close all our cases like this, this is awesome. He's like, I could totally deal with this. And It was, yeah, I liked how this particular case flowed because it wasn't about making a deal. So,
except for the deal Provenza liked.
Well, yes.
Body bags.
Yes, body bags is a great deal. But, yeah, that worked a lot better because if you find out who your criminal is and they premeditated the murder and then you spend the last, instead of the last 10 minutes trying to get them to confess, you spend the last 10 minutes making a deal with them.
That's boring drama.
Yeah, it's very boring. And so they did that for two episodes, but the rest, they haven't done that since. So I think maybe...
I hope this is what the show is going to be.
Yeah, because I think if they make it about the deals, it's not going to work.
Did anybody else see it besides us?
No.
Oh, very wow. Quiet.
They bailed.
Well, I don't think they watched the closer. Peter was the only one who watched the closer, and he bailed.
I think it's funny, though, to see all the, you know, Fritz comes back for a
guest
shot. And,
Well, they let you know that he's still in town and everything.
Right.
The only thing that's weird is Gabriel leaving didn't really make a lot of sense to me. I was like, was he out of contract or something? Like,
maybe you got a better deal.
I don't know. That was weird. All right, because I really don't like the new chick, and I feel like
they gotta stop playing the oh she's a little kiss butt. Yeah.
Yeah, but they keep doing it.
Yeah, but it's just like oh your BFF is here. That's gotten old.
It was old when they started.
I know, but it's just really becoming tiresome.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about Alphas. And I have to say, I watch Alphas and Warehouse 13 together as a block, and Alphas is far superior this season. I really like where they're going with the show. Susie?
Not Alphas, just Warehouse 13.
Okay. Who else watched Alphas?
Oh, I did.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, called the wrong person.
No problem. You know, and I would have to agree. I'm enjoying Alphas a lot more. And this was a really interesting episode, especially at the end. Oh, now I'm forgetting the bad guy's name.
Piper Ferguson. How about that?
Yeah. The dude from Brothers and Sisters in Battlestar Galactica.
He's from everything.
Oh, yes.
So John Piper Ferguson is the bad guy. I forgot his name on the show.
Stanton,
yes. He is an awesome bad guy on the show. He really is.
Yeah. And the way that they weaved him in, and especially at the end, having him, you know, sort of be captured in their building. It's like, what were they thinking? But it was just really cool, the whole episode. And it was really interesting to have this one alpha who's like has like sort of a hive mind. It was bringing all these people into the hive, where in the background, it was really Stanton's, sort of wanting to use that ability. So I just really enjoyed the complexity of this episode.
The only thing I have to call stupid on is if you capture a guy who's immortal, you should tell the guards that the guy's immortal. So that when he slits his own throat, they don't freak out and open the door and let him out. So, like, I was like, really? The only thing he told them was, no matter what, don't open the door. And they're kind of like, okay, sure. And then the guy, like, cuts his own throat, and they're like, oh, my God. And then they open the door. And he's he tells them the story before he does it.
Yes.
And then he goes, the lesson of the story was not morality. The lesson of the story was follow your freaking orders, which was don't open the door, which I thought was fantastic.
That was the best. That scene was just amazing.
Yeah, he is definitely the best bad guy they've had on that show. And he he has so much more personality than so many people that I've seen as a bad. He's one of those bad guys who's just like, when is he coming back?
Right.
Although the big reveal of the episode is they've been looking for the traitor for the last like two episodes. And this episode, Dr. Lee, he actually got a little mind walk in Stanton's head. And he sees that the traitor's actually his own daughter. And I was like, ooh, burn.
And just for him to find it out that way, that was so chilling.
Yeah, he is not. I don't know what he's going to do, but that kind of betrayal is pretty big. That's a big betrayal right there.
Huge.
And especially considering that, as they pointed out this season, Dr. Lee's weakness is his arrogance. And so he has always been, he thinks of it as confidence, but it is ego and arrogance.
He does have that, yes.
Yes. And I'm not sure how his ego/arrogance is going to react that his daughter chose Stanton over him. So that's not good.
Especially because the stakes between him and Staten have been, this episode got raised even higher because you see them going after each other in these different ways.
Yeah, and it's basically, it's come down to just the two of them. It's yes. very mano a mano, my way is the better way because I'm smarter than you. You know, yes. So it's very personal. But yeah, so that's why I think that's fantastic. And the two actors, the guy who plays Dr. Lee, I forgot his name, he's fantastic.
So
putting them head to head is just, yeah, that's really worth it. Yes. So him versus John Piper Ferguson has been like off the charts. Like,
yes.
That's all you need for the whole show.
To keep that going, yes. Yeah. And a little Gary thrown in also.
But... Oh, that's true. Gary is awesome. So I have to say, I love where this season of Alphas is going. They've built up the plot for this season really, really well, and I cannot wait for the next episode.
Same here.
All right. So next up, let's talk about Warehouse 13, and I guess more of us can discuss now.
Yeah. For this one, it almost sounds like, from what you guys are just saying about Alphas, that I would probably agree, and I don't even watch Alphas, and I would say it's probably better. It doesn't really bode well for Warehouse 13 at the moment. I loved the show. I mean, I only got into it last summer after seeing the panel at Comic-Con, because I was like, oh, the chemistry between all the actors and everything's great. The clips are fun. Went back, watched it, got caught up, and I'm like, okay, this is a fun show. And now I'm like, well, did I see something before that I'm not seeing now because it's just not holding me? It's kind of turning into a burn notice for me where I'm like, I'm watching it just out of maybe loyalty.
Yeah.
But I'm just, it's not, there's not a lot of, there's no gravitas to it anymore. And like the drama, like with Artie and his whole plot line, I'm like, I don't care. I do not care. I don't care.
What a waste.
I don't know what else to do, you know?
What a waste of Brent Spiner.
Exactly.
But I just think that whole storyline was ill-conceived, and to see it play out, it's like,
fumbling. They're fumbling. What does it mean? I'm not clued into anything where it's going, and I don't care, and that's the problem.
Right, and what it does is it changes the focus in the relationships with people, and that's what was so great about Warehouse 13, because I watched it from the beginning, and now it's like, yeah, I'm getting like... is this not what it used to be? Because you don't care anymore. And I think it is this plot line. They chose really badly to have this be the arc for the season.
It's really dragging the show down. One, it's the focus is no longer... I like Artie, and he's a really good actor.
Mm-hmm.
So having the storyline centered around him, not a bad idea. Okay, yep. Doesn't seem like a bad idea, because he's probably the strongest actor they have. However, the storyline is so bad that he can't make it interesting.
Nope.
And some of us are taking themselves too seriously, because what's always been nice about Warehouse 13 is just a fun show.
It had a light touch.
And what's having this plot line is like, it's too heavy.
No, it's not even that it's heavy, because I don't mind a heavy plot. It's a bad plot
plot. I agree. I wish it was heavy, but it's just, what the hell is this? I just don't understand what they're doing. What they're doing with the artifacts and, you know, with the other team, what the B team is doing, or I like to consider it the A team at this point, that I'm still fine with, you know, the whole artifact thing, the warehouse and that whole mystique. And I kind of liked to mention a positive note about this episode.
I was about to say, I think I know what it is.
Yes.
Is
it, there is a positive.
Go ahead.
And I did like the fact that, you know, they had this other girl, Deb, you know, come in. She was kind of cute, you know, and did her thing. And I like the whole thing at the end where, you know, she sees the warehouse and, you know, the regent kind of shows her. And she basically is like, yeah, you know, I totally get that the best thing to do is to just, like, pretend this doesn't exist. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, I like that they brought it back to kind of the whole mystique of the warehouse and its importance versus the... like Artie plotline.
I was going to say my quick thing I want to say. That actually wasn't the highlight I was referring to. I was referring to the return of H.G. Wells.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, H.G., baby. Like yeah. That.
But the new character who hopefully will recur, and H.G. coming back, those were the two saving graces of this episode.
Yes.
I'm wondering if there's some larger picture going on that we've... Now that we've seen the birth of an artifact and the recruitment of...
A regent.
Yeah, because the whole thing with Claudia...
She's supposed to be a new regent, right.
So it seems like there might be some larger picture going on, but
like,
man,
that could be interesting.
Yeah, but this Artie thing is just dragging it down.
Yeah, I'm like, be done.
And the case of the week just felt... it's a case of the week.
Yeah, all right.
But those were fun. You know,
that's what they built on. They built the show around that.
And it looks like next week is HG heavy, so what? Yes. I'm happy. You just made me happy right there. Give me HG, it's all good. All right, so let's move on. So I'd say Warehouse 13 got two thumbs down from everybody. Let's move on to Go On. Ha ha! And it's the second episode that they premiered. And Peter, come back to the conversation. What did you think of the second episode?
I didn't like it as much as the pilot, but I still like the characters in the show. So I'm in, and I'm in. You know, I have a weakness for sitcoms, so I mean, I'm pretty much still in. But I thought it was okay. Like I was more of a fan of the pilot. I really thought the pilot, like, again, it's not like the best pilot ever, but I was like, oh, this could be a fun show, you know. And then this one, I was kind of like, meh, this one's alright. I did like his relationship with Matthew Perry's relationship with his assistant, and like just how he's got no life and everything, and he's pretty much like always hanging around her and going out with her. Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, you know. But I don't know, what did you think?
I would agree. I like this episode a lot, but probably not as much as the pilot, because it wasn't, the pilot was very much let's show everybody. This episode was a little more focused, but that was fine because we got to see certain people a little more clearly. And I did like the fact that he basically kept his assistant from having a life and showed up everywhere she was. She was on a date. He was like, hey, what's going on? You know, she was hanging out with a friend. She was getting her hair done, and he shows up and gets his hair done too. Like, I was like, dude, that's a little excessive. And so then she actually does the big speech about, you're invading my space, you're invading my life, and it's because of this, this, and this. And she gives a really good speech, and his response is like, yeah, I know. and she was kind of like, that was not what I thought you were going to say. So they make this deal. I like the deal. The deal is pretty good, which is like, Matthew Perry agrees to back off if she agrees to think about him sometimes. And I was like, oh. It's not entirely creepy, but okay. It's okay.
And you know, and it's funny because I don't watch comedies. I for some reason, I just sort of let them go. And this one I'm actually enjoying just because in some ways it is kind of cheesy, you know, like, and sometimes predictable, like with the woman with the cat and everything. But at the same time, it has a way to like tug at your heartstrings. So I really enjoyed like sort of with the basketball game, you know, when the blind guy says, shh, you know, you don't have to say it, I can hear it. And even where they took it a little bit further to black out the screen. So it seems like they're going to, you know, sort of with the episodes, do something with the different characters. So it's actually really fun.
Yeah, I do agree. I did like the basketball game. That was pretty good. And I liked when he's talking about his Wilt Chamberlain basketball in the case, and there's like nothing in the case because he can't see somebody. They basically stole the basketball from the blind guy who would never figure out that it's gone. And so then they're looking at the case like, what is in the case? It's gorgeous. What is this? And so they're getting him to describe it. And then they can't break it to themselves. Like, who's going to break it to him and tell him that his basketball's gone? And that was really pretty good. Yeah, that was good. And the whole point of the episode was Matthew Perry doing from the hip psychology, trying to help these people, totally backfires. But, you know, they're like, you have to deal with the consequences of your actions and, like, take it, you know, he had to basically take it a smaller step and help out the people in ways that he was able to help. So, yeah, that works. I like the episode. Thumbs up. Yes? No.
Okay. Yes. I agree.
All right. However, let's move on to the second episode.
Uh-oh, I sense a big butt coming.
Of New Normal. Second episode of The New Normal was so offensive in the first, like, 10 minutes that I literally just stopped watching.
What did they do?
It was the grandmother was supposed to be
more.
Yeah, but I can understand so like in the first episode, the stuff she was saying, I was like, okay, sure. Like, that's kind of how I think middle America sees everybody. So that was fine. But I feel like this episode, they were like, we can take it even further. Let's push that envelope. And so they just had her say stuff that I don't think real people actually say. Unless they're on a chat line and being really hateful on chat. Like, people in person speaking, I don't think people speak like that. So I was really just like, you know what? I can't watch this.
Since when has Ryan Murphy written characters who actually sound like real people?
Yeah, but they kind of went over the line for me. It was really just like, I couldn't deal with it.
I wasn't as offended as Libya, but I did think the Obama joke, I was like, I don't know, like,
really?
That's funny, like, you know, like, But I mean, I wasn't as offended as Livia. However, I will say, the saving grace for me was still once again, and this is because Livia hadn't seen the movie. The little girl on the show has just seen Grey Gardens, the documentary. And she ends up, so the whole episode, she's mostly, because she doesn't feel comfortable in her skin and stuff like that. And so she basically is doing this whole like imitation of little Edie. And I thought that was really funny. But Livia hasn't seen the movie, so that didn't really do anything for her.
Well,
but
I appreciated that the girl thought that the adults were having very stupid and silly conversations and she was going to go off and do her own thing.
Right.
And she's totally not paying attention to them and she's just quoting lines from that movie.
Yeah, I thought she was hilarious. Like, but I would agree though, it's still not really that good of a show. But that girl, props to that little girl. Like, I thought that was thumbs up for her.
Who do they think is watching this show?
I don't know.
I mean, that was HBO did a behind the scenes about Grey Gardens, but NBC.
No, HBO did a fictional. But I mean, the real documentary Grey Gardens is pretty big.
But still, that's pretty heady for NBC.
Yeah, it's just the whole episode was about the couch. Somebody drew on the couch, drew a face of one of the guys, which was very accurate.
Yeah.
It's a very accurate picture, which was, that was actually kind of funny. But yeah, I'm done. New normal is out of my life.
I just can't. I caught a couple of minutes before Parenthood started, and I'm like, I didn't smile or laugh once. I'm like, seriously? You think this is going to be a big hit?
No.
You think this is the answer to Modern Family?
Not even.
Ugh.
Modern Family is funny. This show is not. All right, let's move on. I have made my negativity clear. All right, next up, we'll talk about Parenthood. And when I say we, I mean people other than me, because I am still in second season of Parenthood.
Second season?
Yeah, I'm in second.
Ooh, you've got a lot to look forward to.
I kind of got slowed up by the storyline. I think I overdosed myself on the characters to where I then didn't like them anymore.
Peter, I just have one question for you. Is it just me, or would you rather see Ray Romano with Lauren Graham than Jason Ritter?
You know, I don't know. In the beginning of the episode, I would have agreed with you, but then I really liked the scene where Jason Ritter went to the parents and was like, you know, we're engaged. I'd like to be in the photograph. I actually thought that was, I don't know, I like that scene. And he's always been a good guy. So.
He's always been a good guy, but the question is he the right guy?
Right. And the Ray Romano thing was fun. It's fun seeing Lauren Graham bumble her way trying to get this job as a photographer's assistant. Of course, she doesn't really know what to do.
After lying about it.
Right. Overall, I thought it was a good premiere. It's almost like they've restarted with some new stories and stuff. And so, I'm on board. Wait, do you think we're going to follow the girl in college?
Nope, she was a guest star. She was out of the main title credits. This is Kadams. He realizes that people actually do graduate from high school and go to college, and you're not going to see them for a while.
Okay, good. Awesome. Good premiere. I mean, honestly, I really like Parenthood. Like, I think it's a good show, and it flies by. Every episode, I'm always like, what? It was done? You know, so I like it.
I think it's a solid performer and an unappreciated show on their schedule. I mean, obviously, the fact that it got to a fourth season...
That's true. On NBC, I would agree. I liked it.
That's it?
Yep.
You guys are done? All right. I guess that's how we're supposed to flow now. All right, next up, let's talk about White Collar. And I will protest and blame Susie for the conflict that happened between my boys because that was your fault. You said you wanted...
I welcome the blame. My arms are open to you at the moment. At the same time, mind you, that I am turning imaginary in your room there to Thomas and giving him a high five. We get our attention.
I can't bask in the radiance of this glow. I just felt this felt really forced to me. Whereas there are so many legitimate reasons for Peter and Neil to be on the outs. This one just really felt like, we're contriving this.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that because Peter Neil has a point that the woman that was basically kind of a mother figure for him ended up dead because because Peter gave that, put her name on the books, and then he warned him. He's like, she's dead because of this. Please don't enter Sam's name in the books because it might get him killed.
Exactly.
And then that's what he does. And he does it because he doesn't trust Neil. And Neil doesn't give him a good reason to trust him, but he doesn't trust him. And that ends up getting the Sam guy killed.
I think Neil's got a little short-term memory lapse. The fact that he alone got Elizabeth kidnapped last season.
That's true.
And Peter is doing his job.
Right.
Period.
No,
yes,
I,
but
and,
he,
there,
he,
and
he,
there's
he,
never been any doubt that Peter is the one to... I mean, Peter's put his career on the line.
I'm not arguing with you on that. I totally agree. I'm mad that Neil is having this hissy fit.
Well,
I'm mad about it.
Okay, so you are... Okay, so you do agree with me.
But no, well, I agree that... That Neil does not see that everything that Peter has done for him, and him having this whole fit. This is the only thing that Neil has to throw at Peter, because he can't do anything else. He's on the anklet. He can't protest any other way. This is his only way, his only avenue of showing how unhappy he is to be like, we're not friends anymore.
It just felt like a tantrum to me.
It was a tantrum. Yeah.
Okay, can I just come in here almost? This
yes,
is
please.
So funny considering it was the boxing episode. I'll be the referee.
We're on the same side and we're fighting.
I agree with both of you. I absolutely agree with both of you in what you just said. And that's why I actually thought this episode was really fantastic for me, because exactly to your point, Thomas, Peter's always shown himself to be, you know, to be looking out for Neil. And in fact, while they were boxing, I've watched the episode 5 times, just so you know. While they were boxing, there was a point where they were kind of, and I forget what it's called, they're kind of like in a grapple together. And Peter actually says, you know, come on, I'm trying to protect you. And it's just really quiet and almost under his breath, you almost miss it. So he is, and Peter, he totally thought that Neil was going behind his back because he knew that he met with Sam. So he's like, fine, if that's how he wants to play it and he's not, you know, keeping the deal, I'll go ahead and do it my way and not keep the deal and go ahead and do it the official way. Because Peter's looking at it like, look, these guys, it's Sam's involved in this whole thing with the crime, you know, with the police in New York, and he's really concerned about what he heard on that tape. So for him, it's a big deal and it should be official. Then we go to Neil's side and say, just like you're saying, Livia, Neil's like, you know what? This is the only thing he has. And this is the last thing, you know, she's gone. So all he has is Sam. That's the only connection to his past that he has. And he knows that Sam's jumpy and doesn't want the FBI involved. And he tells Peter that over and over again. And yet Peter does what he does because he's Peter. And this is what happens. Sam leaves. So then Neil's feeling betrayed. And it's like this at the scene at the end, the last 2 minutes, it's like perfect father and son. You know, it's like, here's Neil having his hissy fit, his tantrum, because it was his thing. It was his thing that he needed, and it's gone. You know, it's like his pet ran away. Sam's gone. And here's Peter saying, look, you know, I'm trying to protect you here. You know, we needed to find out what's going on. So I think that's what it is them saying, yeah, you know, Neil doesn't have anything else. He can't escape his anklet. That's why he says, you know, I should have a private life. You know, I don't have to tell you everything. And that's why Peter very specifically says, in this, you don't. He didn't say you don't get a private life. He just says in this particular instance, you don't, because it's Sam, because it's dangerous. It's the police, the corruption, the whole thing. So they're both right, and so both of you are right. But that's exactly what I want from the show, so I win. Yay! Needless to say, I give it 2 thumbs up, and next week my head's gonna explode.
I floated an idea to Livia yesterday, and she didn't care for it, but I'll state it for the record. I have a hunch that there's a possibility Sam could be Neil's father.
Oh, we all think so in the blogosphere.
Yeah, okay, I just said I don't believe it. I don't think that just seems too. That seems too contrived.
I agree, and so I'm going to be sad if it is. But it seems to be that the bets are going about 80%, if not more, leaning towards the fact that Sam is his father. And I'd be like, really? Because I don't really see the resemblance.
That's what I said. I said the right? same thing. I was like, if you're going to cast somebody's father, you should, and you have all the actors in the world to pick from, you should pick somebody who sort of looks like your actor.
Especially when he's drop-dead gorgeous. It's like, come on, guys, at least try. You know?
Thank you.
So, yeah,
she has the same argument I did.
Treat Williams wasn't not a bad-looking guy when he was younger. Jeez.
But he still was no Matt Bomer. Sorry.
Right.
All right. I'd say this episode is definitely a thumbs up just for the boxing scene alone. The boxing scene was pretty good.
Libya got her man candy.
Not just, okay, there was man candy involved. However, I actually thought that I liked the fact that they had done all this practice to choreograph this fight, and then right before the fight, he gets the phone call, and then it's the
everything goes to...
Yeah, all that goes out the window, and it actually is a fight. And so I thought that was pretty good.
And it was filmed really well, too, I might add. I like the fact that they did the first-person camera, where they were looking into the camera while they were fighting, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was all pretty good. I liked it. So thumbs up for White Collar. All right, next up, we're going to talk about Glee. And when you say we, I think we mean Peter.
it's a strange episode because I live in West Hollywood, and there's a big digital billboard on Melrose. And, you know, it changes, but it's all owned by Fox. And for the last week, it's been like, you know, I forgot what the slogan was, but something about the Big Apple
takes a bite.
Yeah, the Big Apple bites back. And it's a picture of Rachel, and above her is this blonde woman. And I'm like, is that supposed to be Kate Hudson with a lot of Photoshop? Because I was like, that is not what Kate Hudson is anymore. Like, sure enough, I watched the episode. I'm like, oh, it is Kate Hudson. Like, and Kate Hudson is playing Rachel in New York, her big, like, you know...
teacher or whatever, right?
Dance instructor or whatever. Yeah.
But so the whole big thing about that is she just basically tells Rachel over and over again she sucks, right?
Right, but surprisingly, I actually liked the stuff with Rachel in New York, probably just because it was, like, fresh. It's kind of like, oh, we haven't really seen this on the show. Whereas the other stuff on the show, which was, like, Kurt's working at a coffee shop and, like, but he's still kind of hanging out with the Glee crew, and it's kind of, like, pathetic. It's like, the guy. Like, actually, I almost felt like I myself am over Glee, so I kind of feel like I'd rather hang out in New York now, I guess with the cast of Smash, maybe. But like, so I don't know. I thought it was okay. I mean, although I will say this, though, the best part was still anytime you get to use Brittany and
Santana.
There's the character that dresses in drag all the time. Is it Unique? Is that the character's name?
This is after I stopped watching the show, so I don't know who that is.
The episode's name was called The New Rachel. So basically, the characters that are there, plus some of the new characters, are all vying to be the Rachel Berry of senior year or whatever. And they all do the Carly Rae, that, you know, Call Me Maybe song. And actually, that was a cute number. You know, and I like Britney's her dancing and everything. So yeah, it was fun. But honestly, it was all right. So, I feel like that's my whole thing this week, is it's like, it was all right. Like,
well, the real television hasn't started yet, so we're still watching the
warm up.
Yes, this is all warm up practice.
So appetizers.
Yes, we haven't gotten to the good stuff.
Oh, by the way, from last week, I watched the pilot of Animal Practice, and it was pretty bad. It was. I'd like to chime in that was also pretty terrible. So.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you watched it to confirm that, because I think we all guessed it, but you validated it.
Yeah, David had watched it last week, and he was like, it's awful.
I've seen everything except for the other NBC. What is it? The Men with Babies?
Guys with kids.
I haven't seen it, so that's the only one I have.
I think that's streaming now. I think you can watch that early, but I'm not planning on watching that early or otherwise. So
as does most of America.
Right. So the only thing I've heard that's worse than Guys with Kids is Neighbors. So there you go.
That looks terrible.
Although some critics like Neighbors, which I'm like, seriously?
No, the critics I've seen don't. No,
there's one that did.
Well, okay, there's one.
It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad. All right, let's move on. First, the next thing we're going to talk about is finally the finale of Lost Girl. And just to let you know, we get the new season. Season 3 premieres in January.
Yes.
So we don't have that long to wait. I'm really impressed. It's like, oh, it ends now? We get season 3 that soon? Awesome. Though season 3 is only going to be 13 episodes.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah, wow. So they cut down the order.
Damn.
Yeah, not happy. But the finale was really good. We got to see Bo just like crazy powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is, and I liked her conversation with Kenzie, which was very much like, if I go dark side and I lose it, I need you to kill me. And I'm kind of like, you know what? If she goes dark side, how the heck is Kenzie going to kill her? Like,
that's a good question.
Yeah, because when she goes dark side, she's ridiculously powerful.
Yeah, but if anybody could, it'd be Kenzie. I mean, who
she'd
else?
She'd find a way.
Chainsaw.
Yeah, you know, that's all I can think of now.
So, what'd you guys think of the finale?
And I loved it. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, I could give me as much Lost Girl as you want. You know what I mean? It was just fun. And it was interesting, like, sort of the dynamic as they're trying to, you know, sort of fight off the Garuda. And even I love how the Vex, you know, at first he didn't take her her blood, you know, and it gets them in trouble. I just love the Vex. I hope that they bring him back, you know, that they keep him in season three.
He's I don't know, he's smarmy. He's so
but
smarmy.
That's what I like on purpose.
That's
though.
What's great.
Yeah. He's like, he's just on the right line, like the right side of being obnoxious. So I can totally put up with him. Like the first episode they introduced him, I was like, oh, come on, really? But then I actually kind of, he grew on me. And I was like, yeah, he's pretty fun for being a sleazy bad guy, sure.
Yeah, yeah, he's a sleazy, icky bad guy too. Because he's like, he's that guy that peeps in your window and watches you shower. Like that's his thing. He tells you, he's like, I was totally outside your window peeping in.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Anyway, he makes you feel like you want a shower. That's all. But I did like the Ash. She's the dark side. She's the Morgan. That the Morgan in this episode actually shows her powers and shows what she can do. And she walks in and just like touches this dude on the forehead and he just turns a big puddle of flame. Like she just sets him on fire. And he's like, oh crap, that's your power? Like, that's pretty good.
You know, and I think it's great the way that they left it, where now, you know, sort of like you still see the flicker of the power in Bo's eyes. So
right.
What's everything done to her, as well as with Kenzie and her encounter with Nara,
that is, yeah.
That all of a sudden there's something going on with her too, because her arm has been affected by whatever spilled on her when she was there.
But okay, so your guys' theory, do you think they're going to make her Fae?
Ooh. I don't think it's a good question, but I kind of came out of it thinking that not that they were going to make her Fae, but that, or at least not, my idea wasn't not like permanently Fae. Like there could be this influence, like she has the power temporarily to some extent and it kind of messes with her. And so in season three, there'll be more of a tension between the two of them. You know, that might be
you and your tension. I don't like my tension. I like my friends to be friends. And Kenzie and Bo have never had, their friendship has never been dependent on tension.
No, of course not. No, they've been perfect together. But that's why I think the writers might think, you know, at least not for like the full story arc, but maybe for a couple episodes, you know, that maybe there's this effect. And then that way we could see what would happen, you know, if they were on opposing sides for any reason. But I have no doubt that Kenzie will like immediately be back to normal and her cute little adorable self.
Okay. Yeah,
right. I don't think I'd want her to be Fae because her humanness brings so much to her character.
And she balances Bo. Like, Bo needs her to ground her, you know?
That's true.
Exactly.
I did like, Bo went all superpower. She's like very much like, who's not Storm? Who am I thinking of? The superhero that he has all the power in X-Men. The one that goes crazy.
Phoenix?
Phoenix, thank you. Yeah. That's what I was trying to think. So yeah, Bo goes all Phoenix and her hair blows back and her eyes glow.
Dark
and,
Phoenix.
Yeah, that's basically what Bo does. She goes dark and all of a sudden she's got all this power and then she can literally make everybody around her into her harem just by looking at them.
Yeah.
And they do her will and they need her blood to like release people. And that was all pretty good like that. And so you think that she's let that go and let that power go at the end and she's back to normal, but then they have that moment, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
She looked a little concerned. Like, she kind of knew something wasn't right, too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a really good point. But this also was a really good trick episode, too, because we got to see more of his backstory and got to see her grandmother as well.
Oh, sorry, flashback. That's true.
Yes.
So thumbs up. I think Lost Girl is one of those super underrated shows that apparently only the women of this podcast watch.
Which is funny, considering how much kind of girl-on-girl action or, is like, implied action there is.
What? Girl-on-girl action? Jeez.
Yeah, you would think that they would have enough eye candy for the guys to watch it, but seriously? Yeah, it's just all the women that are watching it. Strange. But she's a strong female character,
exactly.
And we like that.
Yes.
So, and Kinsey is awesome. All right. So let's move on. So thumbs up for Lost Girl. Cannot wait to season 3, which is in January. The date. Next, we're going to kind of vaguely, without giving too many spoilers, talk about Last Resort. Because Last Resort hasn't premiered yet, but it's available online for Yahoo Television or something. So if you want to see it, you can go see it. It's streaming.
I look forward to seeing it on my big screen TV in surround sound.
That's true, because the picture was okay. It's like, nah, all right. It's streaming and it looks all right. I'd rather see it in really great color, but I got an idea of the story, so, and we can feel special that we saw it early.
Well, we and the other millions of people who saw this.
Yes, but I saw it earlier than my mom would see it, because my mom doesn't know how to do... Well, actually, she does. But, okay, then my father, because he doesn't know how to do this.
I thought it was terrific. It was... I mean, it was everything you want a pilot to be. You could see where there was the potential for the series. And then Andre Brouwer is the man.
Oh, yeah.
And has the Emmys and Emmy nominations to prove it. But and Scott Speedman is pretty good too. You forget that he was just man candy on Felicity, you know, back in the day when he was first starting out. But it's Sean Ryan co-created the show. I trust him because The Shield was amazing. Chicago Code was good, even though it got
canceled,
cut down way too early. But wow, this is, and Martin Campbell's like, okay, Green Lantern was not my fault. That was Warner's. I can really direct people. I did the Bond movies.
Yeah, but
I love the way that they slowly build the tension and the loyalties, and because there's so many different players in it, and they just started to roll them out little by little. But even in this first episode, you start to understand all the different, or not. Understand, but you see sort of a bunch of different tensions are going to come into it.
Absolutely. Right. And the thing is that obviously there is a big arc conspiracy,
right?
But the way that they dealt with everything, Ronnie, what did you think about the military aspect?
You know, and I thought, look, you would know better than me because you were around it longer, but it was just neat to see them playing so much out in the submarine as well.
I thought they did a pretty good job. I spent a little time cross-deck on submarines when I was in the Navy, and probably a little bit bigger than it should be, but you have to be able to fit cameras in there. But otherwise, they got a lot of stuff. They got enough stuff right. I don't think people will be complaining.
Right.
But man, what a great...
I think what was great about it, too, was I remember from the trailers... Andre Brouwer's big speech about, you know, we'll all burn together. I was like, holy crap. But then when you actually see him do the speech, you realize it's not what you thought it was.
Yeah, and you see the context.
Right, you see the context. You're like, yes. Oh, okay. So that, but it still was a little, I thought that Speedman was giving him a couple of looks like, are you sure you're not crazy right now? Like, especially when he makes the comment about maybe this is our home now. And everybody else is like, what? You know, so
I don't think everybody realizes the gravity of what they've done.
Right, except for him.
Yes.
But, see, I want to compare this to another show that hasn't premiered yet officially. And just in terms of this versus Revolution, this is so much, this is an A+. I think Revolution's a B-.
I disagree with you on your letter grading. Because I liked Revolution better than you did.
Just in terms of, well, Revolution hasn't made any critics' top lists, and Last Resort is on all of them.
That's okay. I'm not saying that. I think that the Last Resort has, like, with Andre Brouwer, you know, it's like you've brought your acting A game. So,
but just in terms of the way the story laid out, in Revolution, we get just a little taste of pre-Blackout, and then we jump immediately forward.
Well, I think that's good. I actually think that's great because we don't really care about pre-Blackout because that's now.
Except for we're going to be getting flashbacks, and that's what this whole penchant, thank you, Lost, for people building flashbacks into a significant part of a show, I don't think it's not a good thing narratively.
Well, Tom, let me ask you this because it made me think of a different show, like say with Terra Nova, which we won't talk about the quality of that.
Ooh.
But one of the things with Terra Nova, it felt like they didn't spend enough time in the you know, sort of the
future world.
And they doomed it out.
So do you think Revolution that they don't need, they didn't need that?
I don't think they need that.
I don't know.
I haven't seen that. So
my problem
because it's current day, so you don't really need that.
My problem is if you're going to rely heavily on flashbacks, which Elizabeth Mitchell so far only seems to be in the flashbacks, that concerns me because this.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know anything about that, so I can't be concerned about something that we haven't seen yet.
No, we have seen Elizabeth Mitchell in the pilot.
Yes, she was in the pilot, but it wasn't a flashback. So I'm saying you're concerned about the flashbacks. No. We haven't actually seen a flashback happen yet.
We did.
When?
It's in the pilot. They flash back to it later on.
Oh, at the very end, you find out who's in the car or whatever in Monroe?
There are a couple times in the... There's a couple times where we see her after the very beginning, and I'm like, since she's a series lead, that makes me wary because...
No, I really think she's just not dead. Because the only
I hope she's not dead.
Yeah,
awesome.
Their whole thing was very much like, oh, she went on the road and she disappeared, so we're assuming she's dead. I was like, or she went on the road and she got captured or something else. So, like, they don't know she's dead, so I'm pretty sure she's not. That's where I'm assuming she's coming from. I'm not worried about the flashback. Anyway, we're off subject.
Okay.
The subject actually is, let's move on from Last Resort. I think we're all saying we're going to keep watching.
Yeah,
yes.
We are.
All right. Definitely. Thumbs up on Last Resort.
Yes.
So what we're going to talk about now, go around the room. Well, actually, I'm going to do the mailbag first, because what we're talking about now is returning shows. What are the returning shows that you think that people should watch and why? And I have some mail from Mark S. again, and he wanted to chime in and say that from last week, I asked, you know, like, what show... I think because last week he gave his show that he thought was going to be a hit, and then I didn't give him one that was going to be a miss, and so he wanted to say what that was. Park Avenue 666, or 666 Park Avenue. That is his choice for the flop.
It'll be one of them, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's his number one pick, so if he is correct of which show gets canceled first, he gets arbitrary imaginary balloon.
A no prize,
exactly. And for returning shows, I asked him what I told him what the subject was going to be this week, and I was like, so what do you think? His choice for returning shows is his pick is Person of Interest.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
Yeah.
he also said, based on cliffhanger shows that he's really looking forward to, is he can't wait for Castle, because he wants to see how Beckett and Castle's relationship progresses. He says he wants to see the repercussions of the botched capture of Red John on the Mentalist. And he wants to know, he can't help it, but he still cares about those gosh darn Winchesters on Supernatural.
Yes, I agree. Me too.
All right. So
that's...
All right, let's go around the room. Tom, are you prepared with your list?
Yes, I am. My list, in no alphabetical order... Boardwalk Empire, great second season. It'll be interesting to see how they follow that up. Fringe, they got 13 episodes to close it out, so I await that with bated breath. Homeland, OMG. And unfortunately, the Entertainment Weekly's fall preview issue spoiled some of the story arcs for that, but that's in good hands. Vampire Diaries. Will Elena remember her pre...
Yes, she will. We know that she
I
will.
I know, but will that affect her decision?
Yes, I think so.
And
yay.
Then Person of Interest. Once upon a time, I had issues with last year. I'm kind of concerned that they're introducing so many new characters. We got Mulan and Captain Hook and Lancelot. It's like, stop introducing so many new characters.
That sounds like me. You're channeling me right now. Okay.
So I hope they don't jump the shark in season two, but that's my list.
All right, Peter.
So mine would be Homeland. That was the one that I feel like it's only one season, so people could catch up rather quickly. I mean, I agree with Tom. Obviously, I can't wait for Fringe. I can't wait for Vampire Diaries. Although, of course, you know, I'm actually looking forward to Downton Abbey. I want to see how Shirley MacLaine's going to be. But if I was picking a show that I think people have time to catch up on, Homeland just came out. So I feel like you could do that. That's 13 episodes. That's not so bad, you know. Yeah. And then obviously a show that you can just pick up and play. I think, you know, most of the comedies I like Modern Family and stuff. Like, I mean, yeah, it's awesome if you watch all of it, but it's a really good show, and you can just start now.
That's a very good point. Modern Family you could just jump in on.
Yeah, I mean, so I'd say Homeland and Modern Family were my two.
Okie doke. Ronnie.
All right, and actually my shows, everybody have already talked about them. You know what I mean? Because I love Person of Interest. So I'm looking forward to that coming back. Of course, Vampire Diaries. I'm almost caught up with Fringe, and I will be by the episode. So I'm excited to be able to watch that in real time with everybody else.
Yay!
And, you know, and Castle, you sort of, I love that, to see sort of what happens with the relationship. And, of course, Homeland, because it's just so good. But the one show that people haven't said, which, again, to me is kind of a very light, funny show, is Archer. So I'm going to put Archer out there, because it's just a fun show, and it doesn't get sort of that much press. So find it, watch it, and laugh.
That's it is on Netflix too.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
There you go. All right, Susie, what do you got?
Yeah, same as everybody else, really. Good, strong shows. I would say on my list, I'm all in with the Winchesters, have been from day one, so full on Supernatural. Homeland, like everyone said, it's easy to get into, but boy, when you do, it's just kind of a mind blower, so can't wait for that. Again, with Fringe, I was there from day one. I'm going to be sad when it's over, but they'll do a good job this season, I think, in wrapping it up. Person of Interest, wow. I mean, I only got into that show, literally saw the first episode, what, like 2 weeks ago or something, you know, and then ran through it all. So absolutely, like, primed for that one. And then one that doesn't, it sort of doesn't really count, but it's this season. It's just it started earlier than the others, is Grimm, you know, so... We just happened
it does
to start
count.
Early.
Grimm counts. Grimm counts. It's a returning show, definitely.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's the one. So,
all right. I feel like since I'm going last, I'm like totally jumping on the bandwagon with all of you guys. But since all of you have named some shows already, I'm going to add some shows that maybe you haven't named, which is I changed one of mine, in case you're wondering as I'm writing right now. I am changing my list to... I'm going to say The Mentalist, which I think only Peter's the only one that watches that show with me now. But I think...
Yeah, I caught up with Mentalist this summer, so I'm excited about Mentalist and Grimm, but those are shows I just caught up on, so I didn't say those.
But that's fine. I mean, hey, you just caught up on them and you like them, so that's totally cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I'm going to say The Mentalist, because I can't wait for...
I can't wait to see it in HD because I've been watching crappy.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say I can't wait for what's going on with Jane because this season four especially, he's gotten so dark, and then this season feels like it's going to keep going that way, and I want to see where that's going. I want to see more of that in the relationship with Lisbon, and hopefully, you know, more Rudjohn. And Person of Interest, which is probably my number one show of last year. And everybody has said how great it is. If you guys aren't watching that, why are you not watching it? It is amazing. And it's weird because I can't say you can really jump in second season because the cliffhanger from season one's really good. And the relationship between Reese and Finch is really kind of important. Yep. You need that to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Fringe. Even though you guys, every single person here has said Fringe, you can't say that enough times. It's Fringe. It's just like, it is, it blows my mind. I went back and watched that show entirely from season one all the way through again. I got to the finale of season four, went back to the beginning, watched the whole thing again. And wow, that show's amazing. Next is a show I just watched over the summer, which is Flashpoint. It's available on Netflix. It was available on CBS. Now it's not. It's got four seasons. Netflix has all four seasons. It's about to start its fifth and final season on next week, but that's in Canada, and you got to use your friend now because CBS are being jerks and not airing it, or wait for it to show or the fifth season show up on Netflix. But I really enjoy that show. The characters are fantastic. So, thumbs up there. I think that's it for everybody, right?
Cool.
Yep. So, if you guys want to share with us out there your choices of returning shows and why you think we should be watching, maybe even discussing those shows on the podcast, is there anything that we're not talking about on the podcast that's like a grave oversight? Let us know, even though I think we talk about a great deal of television as it is. But I'm always willing to watch a new show. Speaking of which, a bunch of people told me I should be watching Hell on Wheels, and I just started watching it, and I'm almost done. I'm almost caught up in like 2 days. So yeah, I like that show too. Here we go. And if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can listen to us on GetThePointRadio.com, KryptonRadio.com, iTunes, Wheatonopolis. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.